Well, good evening.
Good evening.
What a wonderful privilege to come here tonight in a time like this and just have all you men together with your sons. This is a time that we as elders, and I know many of you have been praying for this time together, and we're really hoping and praying that God answers our prayers and each one of us will be touched over the next day and a half. You know, I hope you came expecting tonight, because that's what God wants from us. He wants hearts that are expecting, because God is real. Amen?
Amen.
And He's alive forevermore. I'd like you to turn, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 4, as Jerry has called us together. And as you can see, that our theme for this retreat has to do with a life worthy of the calling. And so Jerry told me we're going to really kind of look at this as our theme, as men and boys. And it comes from this particular passage. And before we do that, I do want to open up a word of prayer. I would be foolish to think that I could be up here without first praying and acknowledging the fact of our need for God to move in our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
So would you bow with me and pray? Father, we do thank you so much for this time together of fellowship. Lord, as I look out here, Lord, these are my brothers in Christ. These are men who love you. And we know that we have some men, Lord, that are here tonight and they want to hear from you. We all do, Lord. And so, Father, we're asking for you to do a work in each one of our hearts. Lord, from the oldest to the youngest. Lord, even for the boys that are here tonight. God, this time together should be a time of really even drawing them to the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so tonight we come to you, Lord, and we ask you. Lord, we ask for your help. Thank you for this evening already. Thank you for those who served the meal to us. We give you praise and thanksgiving for that. Thank you for the labor of love they've shown. But now, Lord, we come to this time, to these tables of fellowship. And we come, Lord, with hungry hearts in our soul to hear from you. And Lord, that will not happen unless you, Lord, work. And as we've already been praying for this time, thank you that you're here with us tonight. Lord, it gives me great confidence, gives all of us great confidence, Lord, that we come in the precious name of Jesus. And because of him, we have this wonderful privilege of being here tonight. And so I ask now, Lord, O Holy Spirit, come into our hearts, stir our hearts, encourage our hearts, instruct our hearts, Lord, so that we might be men, just as Paul begged us that we would be men who would be worthy of the calling that you gave to us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
So as we look at chapter 4, I want you just to read this one verse, and it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now we know that by the time Paul gets to this particular chapter, is that he's already spent three chapters speaking about the very doctrinal truths that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. And he's talked about the very thing of all the things we have. I'm thinking about the one verse, chapter 1, verse 3. Look at this verse. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's what he's done. If you're here tonight as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are here because at one moment in time, the very Holy Spirit of God came to you, gave you the Word of God, brought conviction to your heart, and showed you that you needed to repent of your sins, and that there was a Savior who was given for us, and that when you gave your heart to Him, you became automatically into the family of God, and you have these wonderful blessings. That's what God has done for us. That's what we have received. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. You're part of His kingdom. You're part of the very family of God. You're very part of the household of God. You are part of even the very branch that Jesus spoke about. We are branches who are attached to the vine. What a wonderful privilege we have. All of these wonderful riches that we have. And then Paul comes to this part after he gives all the... you need to take time and just read through the first three chapters and you'll see all that we have. All the privileges, all the blessings. What a wonderful God we have. He's merciful. More than anything else, He is merciful to us. And here we then, Paul comes to this point and he says, walk worthy of such a calling. If that's who we are, then brothers, I'm telling you that we're being challenged in our lives, that we are to be faithful servants, faithful to the calling, so that our Lord Jesus Christ is exalted in this life, and even for the one day when we're going to see Him face to face. I don't know about you, but I'm praying for every one of us, is that He will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servants. You see, my prayer for all of us, and I've been praying for this, and I'm going to tell you something. You know, I've got notes here and everything else, and my prayer is that, Lord, I just want You to speak the heart tonight. Lord, we need that in this day. You're here tonight because I believe in Your heart, You want to do what's right. You want to honor Christ in your life. And so many times some of us struggle so much. And that we're going to struggle in this life. But I want you to know, just like as we've seen all these, one of the most beautiful mysteries that the church of old ever knew was that God would dwell in the hearts of His people. Amen. And that's a wonderful privilege that we have. See, I want to do what God wants me to do. My prayer is that you'll have that in your heart. My prayer is that all of us would want God, that we want what God wants me to do because of all that He has done for us. I want to know, are you here tonight? Are you here tonight because you do want to walk worthy of this calling? See, I want to be a worthy son, a child of God. See, a believer, we know that we've been part of God's family. We belong to Him. He's our Heavenly Father. And that says something about us. That says something about how we ought to live. If I'm my Father's child, then I want to honor my Father. You know, one of my favorite verses that I've even challenged my own family with is this verse right here, 3 John, verse 4. And I imagine this is what God is looking down right now in our hearts. And I wonder if He's looking at your life, looking at my life, and could He say this, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth. Brothers, that's what we ought to be doing. If we're going to be worthy men walking according to the call that we have as believers, we need to be walking in the truth. And so, how do we do that? Well, I told Jerry that I've been studying, started a study in Daniel over at Camp Craft on Thursdays. There's a couple of guys here tonight have been part of that for a few weeks. And so, I thought about, as Jerry asked me, you know, can you share something about being worthy of the walk? And I told him, I said, you know, I've been studying Daniel, and I can't think of anybody better right now that I would like to speak on about his life. You talk about a man who's worthy of the walk. And so we're going to look at a little bit of Daniel tonight, okay? We're going to look at the key elements of his walk of faith. What made him different? Because I want you to know, he was just a normal human being just like you. He was no different. He was no superhuman. He was just like you. In fact, for some of you young men here tonight, I want you to know that by the time we even are introduced to Daniel, he's just a young man. He could be only maybe 13 years old. They say that, I mean, by the time he was taken, he could have been anywhere from 13 to 17 years old. But Daniel the man, we're going to look at Daniel the man. We know more about him probably than any other prophet in the Old Testament. Because we give an account of his whole lifespan. From the time that he was 13 all the way up to the probably back, if you look at, Daniel. If you'll turn over there, turn over to Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. It's interesting, right at the end of the verse of that chapter, Daniel 1, verse 21. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. So if you take a look at Daniel's life, he's taken captive anywhere from 13 to 18 years old. And he's part of that where it was prophesied that Israel was going to finally, the sepulcher is going to be taken away from her. She's been so disobedient, and they were going into captivity. In fact, even Daniel knew the scriptures, knowing that that time of captivity would be somewhere around 70 years. And that's about the span that we see in Daniel's life. And we're going to see that his life and ministry bridged the entire 70 years of captivity. We see this beginning of him as a young boy in his teens, and it ends with him of being a man somewhere around 80-something years old. Now, by the way, the name Daniel means God is my judge. And when I put that down, I also thought about this fact. You know that you could put your name there. Because in a sense, all of us are going to someday stand before our God. And He's going to judge us. Daniel's life was a very instrument of the very fact that he was a man committed to his God. And that his name means that he would be one who is judged by his God. And I think that name meant something to him. Well, by the way, guess what? You and I have new names written in heaven. And it's a name that's been put there by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that name's been written in his book. And so I ask you tonight, I beg with you tonight, as Paul begs, walk worthy, brothers. We're going to see that in Daniel's life, why it's so important. And I want to say this again. Daniel was a normal person just like us. And we're going to see in his life, as if you've studied life of Daniel, see that he's a man who basically went through much adversity. And he was also a man who had much prosperity. And so how did he handle that? What was so different about him that he was able to tread through the waters of adversity and also prosperity? And that says a lot about our character. You know, how do you handle adversities in life? You kind of go, oh, woe is me. Or, God, why did you put me here? God, don't you care? God, don't you love me? We're going to see, you talk about a guy who went through some adversity, I mean, at his young age. I mean, first of all, he was challenged about whether or not he was going to be brainwashed for 3 years in the king's court. He had to make a decision as to whether or not he was going to eat of the king's food that was prepared for him. But he knew in his heart, and why did he know it in his heart? He knew in his heart because he knew the laws of his God. And they were not to eat food offered up to idols or meat that was not first kosher. You know, they couldn't eat any meat that had any blood on it. So, and then we see this man. You talk about being a times of adversity, even to the point that he would have to give us his life if he didn't change. And there it was. God was doing something in his midst. He had favor amongst the one guy that had control over him. As a young man. instead of arguing against and everything else, he went and he asked this man, "Can you please, I can't eat that stuff. It's against my God and my laws." And God gave favor to that man. And he used wisdom. Think of this, this is a young man, uses wisdom. He said, "Just give us a test." And you know the story, what happened there. After so many days, he was presented to him, and he was, and those, David and, I mean, Daniel and his three men were, his friends were much better, 10 times better than anybody else. And that's the power of God. He could do that in your life, in my life. I mean, we even see that at times when Daniel got in trouble because of his prayer life. But before we get there, I'd like to encourage you to take some time and think about Daniel, the things you know about him. And I want you to think about Daniel as being a great example of a man who was able, as I said earlier, he knew how to navigate through both adversity and prosperity. Because even through the times of adversity, even getting thrown into a lion's den, you don't think that's some adversity? But even after that happened, he was elevated. We know that he was elevated to almost like a prime minister. And yet we still see him that being that raised up into a Babylonian empire, being raised that high up. It didn't go to his head. He always remained faithful to his God. He always remained faithful to what God had called him to do. And why? Because this is key. He believed in his God. By the way, to believe in God, you have to know who God is. And let me just say this, this is even to all of us, even you young guys here. It's so important that you get into the Word of God and you stay in the Word of God and you learn the Word of God. You want to know God in your life? You search and you seek and you'll find Him. That's a promise He makes to us. And what makes Him so different? You see, he trusted God. He knew about who God was. He heard about this God of Israel. He had studied His Word. And even like I said earlier, even the other prophets like Jeremiah and that, he read those things. He knew exactly what was going on. And he always remembered that God was in control. And I think that's really key. Trusting God for who He is. I want you to think of this verse that Paul speaks of, Romans 8:28. You know it. Mm-hmm. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So whether through adversity or through prosperity, all things work together for good. Don't forget that. It's important. Young Daniel, as I said earlier, was probably no more than 17 years old at the time of his capture. But I want you to know this about him. It's one thing I love about Daniel. It's he's one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament. Him and Joseph. Why? These were men who, most of their lives, remained faithful. Men who loved God. Men, you talk about somebody, you think you got a rough life. I mean, you talk about somebody like Joseph, all the things he went through. You remember those things? Hated by his brothers. Sold into slavery. Lied about, went to prison. I mean, that's adversity. I mean, now you think about God, what are you doing in my life? And sometimes God has you go through those, my brothers, but it's for a purpose. It's a purpose for your edification and a purpose for His glorification. And even a purpose you could help and come along aside of a brother who's struggling through the same thing. That's how our God works. So His ways are so much different than our ways, is He not? But I want you to know, no evil motives are attributed to Daniel in Scripture. It says a lot about his character. And here's another thing. I want you young guys to hear this. And us older guys too. What an influence he had on others. I mean, his own friends. He had a great influence. I mean, so much so that they joined with him. You know, there was probably said there could have been maybe 75 to 300 other young Jewish men who were taken at that time, because they took all the young men from the king's courts. And isn't it amazing? Out of all those, God still has his remnant. And these four young men became faithful to the end. That says something to us. The world may be going one direction, and you may have opposition and everything else, but God says, no, you go this way. And though no one else will go with you, if you know in your heart God has called you to do this, you do it, brothers. Because he's got a purpose for you. Speaking of that, I want three words that kind of speak about Daniel's character and his life. And we know these things, but I'm just going to remind you of those. Daniel was a man of purpose. Let me ask you something. What's your purpose in life? What's your purpose? Now, for some of us, we know that God has put us in ministry in a certain way. You know what your purpose is. You need to be focused on that and stay with that until God moved you somewhere else. That's what our purpose is. Stay focused on that. Some of you, as I told my one friend back here, Paul, you know, he's recently come to faith in the last couple of months. I'm so thankful what God is doing in Paul's life. And one thing I challenged Paul more than anything else, I says, Paul, I says, I know you have a desire. You want to go off and change the world. I said, but the most important thing you do right now, your purpose in life, is to be a godly man. And you be a godly husband. And you be a godly father to your son. If we can't do that, God can't use you anywhere else. And that's something for all of us, brothers. We need to make sure we understand our purpose in life. We know one of the greatest purposes is to bring Him glory. And let me just say this. If it doesn't bring Him glory, then you better get on your knees and ask God. Say, Lord, this ain't glorifying you. What do I need to do? What do I need to change? Give me a purpose, Lord. I want my purpose in my life, whether it could be you're a mechanic the rest of your life. I remember when God got a hold of me, I was a tool and die maker, and I had a bench about this side, and I sat in a corner. And I remember going to work, and I remember bowing my head at break time, and I said, Lord, if you want me to be a tool and die maker the rest of my life in this corner, I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to be the best tool and die maker I can for you. Because it's for your glory. Amen. And he kept me there for a while. Because he still had a lot of work to do in my heart. And so I'm saying, unless God shows you something else, you better stay there and listen to what God has to say to you and take it in and listen to him. Amen. See, we live in such a fast-paced world, don't we, brothers? But Daniel was a man of purpose. We see that when he makes that very statement and he says, I will not take of the king's meat. I will follow my God and I will follow his laws. And then we know that Daniel was a man of prayer. You see that all the way through the book of Daniel. I mean, you can't help but see that this man was a man of prayer. I tell you what, you want to model prayer? Go to Daniel 9 sometimes. We know even before that he was praying. I mean, even for this time when in Daniel chapter 2, when Nebuchadnezzar calls all his wise men and he wanted to know what this dream was, and he wanted them to tell the dream and interpretation was. And what does Daniel do? It's amazing. I was talking to the group last week. It's amazing that he just goes into the king's court. I mean, into his place. And when he's told and he finds out that this one comes here to slaughter all the wise men, because by this time Nebuchadnezzar had enough, and he says, I don't believe any of you guys. I'm just going to wipe you all out. I mean, that's the kind of madman he was. And when he came to get Daniel and his friends, Daniel said, wait, what's the hurry here? And then Arioch told him, I'm here to do away with all the wise men, and you're part of them. And he said, well, let me go. He just goes into the king's court. I don't see anything else that says he didn't do anything different. And at that moment, he could have been struck dead. But you know what? I just want to give you a key right here. God was in control. Because earlier, this Nebuchadnezzar took time to examine Daniel and his friends. And I know from the character he saw earlier, these were 10 times better. And God softened his heart. And he gave him... It was amazing because these guys, these Chaldeans and all these wizards and everything, you know what they asked for? He'll give us time. More time, all right? And he says, no, I ain't giving you no more time because I know what you're going to do. You're going to hope that I kind of forget about this. But isn't it amazing? Daniel goes there and he asks us for time and he gets it. And brothers, I'm telling you, that says something about your relationship with God. When you hold committed to Him and you hold to the truths that He's called you to and you do what's right, you could make those kind of demands of others, because God is softening their heart. You can trust your God for the relationships that He's got you in. As long as you're always responding in a way of love and a commitment to your God. If you go in any other way, you're going angry, well, I didn't get that raise. I ain't going to do this no more, you know? Or, man, you gave me the dirtiest job. I ain't going to come back and work for you no more. Or, you know, I want to do something else in the church. No. God's called you to do something, you do it because you love Him. Amen. And you love others.
Amen.
Okay? But anyways, I tell you, take a look at Daniel 9 sometime and read that prayer. It's a wonderful model of prayer. And I don't mean to say this in kind of... But you know what caused you to do? Is see how a man of God prays. He's concerned about sin. He prays even for his people, for their sin. He prays for his sin. He's not praying for somebody to get their toe fixed or whatever. Now, I'm sorry, I don't mean to believe, but I'm telling you, he understands what a battle we're in. We're in a spiritual battle, my brothers. And we ought to be on our knees praying for spiritual warfare, spiritual victories. That's what we need in the church today. And then, thirdly, he was a man of prophecy. I mean, God used him in speaking many... I mean, Jesus quoted much on the Mount Olivet discourse. He spoke from Daniel. And I want to tell you something. Daniel was not only used of God to tell forth prophetic things, but he lived out prophecy. As I say, he was part of that group that was taken captive, and for those many years, and those 70 years that they were in captivity. Now, it doesn't ever tell us Daniel ever goes back. We're never told that. He probably died there somewhere in Persia. But what was important was that he lived out the prophecy that God showed him for his day. And even the prophecies for today, the Word of God is prophetic for today. And you and I could live this life and we could be assured that things that we do, if they're held to the Word of God, we know they're true and we could go forward. And even when this world wants you to conform to them, see, this was a great key for Daniel. See, we need to have that kind of courage like he had. But let me get into this. This is the key elements of Daniel's character. I want to talk about that a little bit. As I said, they went through 3 years of brainwashing. Literally. as they were first taken captive. And how can men today, how can we resist a life of conforming to this world? How do we do that? What's the secret? What did he do? Well, turn with me first of all to Romans chapter 12. And you're familiar with this passage of Scripture. And I want you to see this. Look at verses 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you, therefore, again, you see that word. I beseech you. I mean, it's almost like Paul saying, I'm begging of you. Yeah, you know, we're not here to put on some kind of show or nothing like that. I'm telling you, brothers, we're here because we love God and we want to seek God and we want to do what God wants us to do. And just like Paul, we're begging, please, brothers, come with an open heart, and we're going to talk about that. But he says right here, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then here we look at this. Look at these things right here. And be not what? Conformed to this world. I know all of us are pressured, are we not? To conform to this world. Even John, in the book of 1 John, he speaks about how even the tactics of the devil, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's what the world's been offering you for all these years. And brothers, for some of us, we need to stop conforming to this world. We really do. We need to make a difference. This world is dying and going to hell, I'm telling you that. And we're getting closer and closer. Jesus come back at any time. And what are we going to do? Do you want to have blood on your hands? Now, I'm saying that. And I'm not here to judge that. I'm saying that myself too, brothers. We have to be open to that. This is reality. This ain't a game that we're playing. This is real. And so he says, be not conformed to this world, but what? Be transformers. That's what he's asking. This is what Daniel was. Daniel wasn't a conforming. He was a transformer. I want you to think about all the people that he had influence in his life. We talked already about his three little friends. You know, even Nebuchadnezzar, many Bible scholars believe, is that this man came to faith. What kind of influence do you think he got that from? Daniel and his friends were transformers. That's what he says here, by the renewing of your mind. And it's not something you can do, my brothers. This is something that only God can do in our hearts. And it only happens if we come, as we're going to talk about in a minute here too, when we open up our hearts to Him. And we're real. And we're honest. Even Daniel prayed one time, Lord, you're looking for honesty in our hearts. He says in one of the Psalms. Daniel and his three friends were transformers. Instead of being changed, they did the changing. Amen. God used them to transform the minds of powerful rulers, and it would bring glory to His name in a pagan land. Now, what's the key? And this is what I want to talk about. I want you to go back to Daniel chapter 1. And brothers, I just want to talk to you tonight. I want to talk about this verse. Because I believe this is the key to everything right here. And I want you to look at it. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purpose in his heart that he would not defile himself. Brothers, let me ask you something. Where's your heart at? You have a heart for God? See, in Daniel's life, he purposed in his life. Now that means something for non-believers, and it means something for us as believers. I mentioned my dear friend Paul back here. First time I met him was at a Bible study at Camp Craft. You know, when you're teaching, you don't know what God is doing, but God's doing something. I believe when the word is going out, it does not return void. And brother, that's something you need to hold on to. That's why we need to be men of the word. Don't ever be afraid to share the word of God. You may stumble and mumble and everything else like Moses or like Bill Crow. I mess up all the time with different... I mean, people just make fun of me. I don't care anymore. I really don't. You can laugh all you want. I'm serious. But more than anything else, I want the word of God to be proclaimed. That's what's important to me. Okay? And let me just tell you about Paul. It was a message, our last message of the Gospel of John. And for some reason, God really laid it on my heart, really hammer home the Gospel message. How can you not with the Gospel of John? And I asked him permission I could share this, okay? So I'm not trying to embarrass this brother, okay? But I want you to know that I noticed as I was teaching, man, his eyes were just glued, and it was like... It's like I could tell the Spirit of God was doing something in this man's life. And we got done. Everybody's going back to their work. So it happened that Paul was visiting. He owns his own company and he could take a little time. And that's the only time I get to eat my lunch. So I invited him, come on, Paul. Because he came on me and said, man, I got a lot of questions. I mean, that's all he said. Man, I got a lot of questions. You know? And we sat down and we talked for 40 minutes. And it became very evident what was his problem. It was a heart problem. It was his heart. He told me, oh man, I've known Christian guys, man, and I've even taped my foot and I got in the pool a little bit and shake my foot around and I tested out Christianity and I pull it back. I says, Paul, let me tell you what the problem is. You're on the fence, man. Because I could say that happened to me in my life. I was on the fence. Oh, I could look great on Sunday. Monday, man, I'm right back in with the group. You wouldn't know I was a Christian. I probably believe now I wasn't really a Christian. Until one day God got a hold of my heart and I shared this with Paul. And I said, Paul, you have to have a total surrender of your heart. You purpose in your heart. You're going to commit your life fully. Not 50%, not 75%, not 99.9%, 100%. And that's what God wants from each one of us. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile his God. In other words, he was saying, I have a commitment to him. I know who he is. I have been following him. I know his word. And Paul said to me, Bill, you're right. And I've just kind of just treaded the waters. He says, I've never fully given my life to Jesus Christ. And there in that conference room up there, him and I bowed our heads. And it was a beautiful thing I see is Paul gave his life 100%. To Jesus. Am I right, Paul? And I'm telling you, pray for this brother. But I'm telling you, I'm all excited all over again. It's like I got saved, man. I'm telling you. But this is the key. This is the key to Daniel. He purposed in his heart. And brothers, for some of you, if you're here and you don't know what we're talking about, you don't know Jesus Christ, particularly maybe some of you young men here tonight, Daniel was a young man and he purposed in his heart that he would follow God, give himself fully to God, and he would not ever compromise that decision. To the point that it says that in him, we couldn't find much that was wrong with his character. He followed God with his whole heart. Now for us who are brothers, what's the message for us? What what's your life? What's your walk been like? Some of you guys are struggling with things that you know you need to do and you don't do it. I'm telling you, the only way we're ever going to see a change, you've got to come to this grip, to this point. I'm going to give 100%. I'm going to purpose in my heart that I'm going to give it all to Jesus Christ. I'm sold out to Him and Him alone.
Amen.
And if we do that, brothers, if we did that, this size of group of these men right here, man, we could turn this whole neighborhood upside down.
Amen.
You believe that?
Yes.
And that's what we're praying for. We're praying for this to happen. We're praying for God to come in our midst and do something. Grab a hold of our hearts. And bring us to a point that we could say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I know I'm running out of time and I had so much more to share, but I just want to just talk about a few things at the end right here. Okay? With Daniel's life like this and his commitment that he was a man who would not compromise his faith. I want you to understand that. He was a man committed to his God. And he did not compromise his faith. And he had every reason to do that, didn't he? I mean, just like Joseph. Well, wait a minute. I'm on Potiphar's house, and man, I'm all alone right here. Man, he's given me the whole house to take care of, and now his wife, he wants to give herself to me. Who's going to know? In our lives, like this, you know, we could be doing business and everything else, and we have a relationship. Maybe we're in a relationship we shouldn't be in. You got to be careful. I'm telling you. Who would know? Who would know if I cheat a little bit on my taxes? You're right. God knows. And that's what Joseph said. How can I do this and sin against my God?
Amen.
We see Daniel. As I mentioned earlier, that here he was, this whole lifespan that we could see as we look through his life in the book of Daniel, and he's still being faithful.
Amen.
To the end. During Daniel's long life, he had an opportunity to witness, listen to this, to Nebuchadnezzar, to Darius, Belshazzar, Cyrus, and many of the court officers who came and went. He was a faithful servant. And here's the challenge to us. Could we say with him, as Jesus said, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus said those very words. We are to emulate Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, brothers. I look at some here and I see, you know, some of you got older guys are getting close to me. I mean, we have some of us old guys here, right? I can't believe I put myself in a group of the old guys. But I have to come to realization. I'm getting there, brothers. And I really want to be like Daniel. You know that song, Dare to Be a Daniel? Dare to Be a Daniel. See, the point is, God has you right where you are. You know that? As I look around here, I mean, every one of us, He has you right where you are.
Amen.
He does. He's sovereign. Now, none of this happens by accident. The fact that you're even here tonight is no accident. There's a purpose for it. In your job relationships, the very job you have, the very people that are around you, God has you there, and whether you realize it or not, you're having an effect on people. And how do you want to affect people? How do you want to be used of God? You want people to come to Christ. You want people who are hurting not to be hurting anymore. You want people that are sad, you want them to be joyful. You have people that have no peace in their hearts. We have peace, do we not, my brothers?
Amen.
We have the answer. We have the truth. God gave us all of the truth. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We have it right here in our hearts.
Amen.
And the world needs to hear that.
Amen.
Our families need to hear that.
Yes.
Our children need to hear that. And for us as men, it's important our wives hear that. Well, let me finish with this last thought. As I said earlier, each believer is either a conformer or a transformer. So what's the word for us? Well, let's go back where we started. Ephesians 4. Verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner. You see, the problem is that we don't look at those words and we don't take it for what it really is. Paul was a prisoner. You and I are prisoners of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You belong to Him. He purchased you.
Amen.
He took all your sin, all your guilt, and He put you on a solid rock. Solid ground. That's what He's done for you. For you. For you. For you. For all of you. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation for which you are called. So, brother, my heart cry to all of us. Speak to my own heart, too. Let's be faithful men. Let's be men who, whether we're going through adversity or prosperity, we always have Him, always keeping our eyes on Him, always doing what He wants us to do. Keep your eyes on Him. Do it for His honor. Do it for His glory. Because He's the one. He's all worth it. Without Him, my brothers, we're all bound for eternity in darkness. But praise God, because of His ultimate love for you and I, He saved your heart. He saved your life. And He wants to do great, mighty things through you. If you dare to be a Daniel, don't compromise your faith. I got something I wanted to read. I did bring a book, and it's just not very long, but I'm just going to read it. And I was struck by this as I was preparing. And it's a little devotional on Tozer. There I go again, Tozer. Okay, but you know I'm talking about by Tozer. And listen to these words. It's not very long. Just bear with me. He kind of puts a heading here. Don't let me live wrong. He says right here, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. To you, your heart, 100% sold out to Him. If you do that, you're moldable. You're just where He wants you. And He wants to do great, mighty things for you. But you've got to be sold out. If you don't know Him, you've got to be sold out 100%. Come to Him in faith. There's no other salvation. I'm just telling you, if you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus, there's no other way of salvation. There ain't no other way. Jesus made it very clear. There's only one way. He's the way. It's not some kind of act you go through. It's putting your faith and trust in His finished work. Put in the living Christ, Son of God.
Amen.
So listen to what Tozer says here. For years, I have made a practice of writing many of my earnest prayers to God in a little book. A book now well worn. I still turn often to the petitions I recorded in that book. I remind God often of what my prayers have been. One prayer in a book, and God knows it well by this time, for I pray it often. And it goes like this. Oh God, let me die rather than go on a day by day living wrong.
Amen.
I want to be right so that I can die right. Lord, I do not want my life to be extended if it would mean that I should cease to live right and fail in my mission to glorify you all the days of my life. As you recall from 2 Kings 20, the Lord gave Hezekiah a 15-year extension of life. Restored to health and vigor, Hezekiah disgraced himself and dishonored God before he died and was buried. I would not want an extra 15 years in which to backslide and dishonor my Lord. I would rather go home right now than to live on if living on was to be a waste of God's time and my own. Please, Father, help me finish well.
Amen.
Brothers, that's our calling. Be men worthy of it. Be men that honor God. Be men that love Jesus Christ. Be men that love holiness, righteousness, faithfulness. Be men who are willing to take a stand and not compromise. Because you want God to use you to be a transformer. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.